This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
All right, well, that last guest was just a wealth of information. And I didn't even get into a lot of the stuff that I wanted to talk to her about, but you can't cut her off when she's getting into some of this information that even I take my health very seriously. I really do. Again, I wouldn't say I'm an A+, but I do pretty well, especially for somebody in media. It's one of the hardest jobs to stay healthy in. It actually really is. And so, but man, I mean, there's so much to learn there. There's so much going on. And it doesn't necessarily surprise you. It might surprise and shock you. But when you understand all the different attacks and the eugenicist program and the depopulation era we're in, it's just astounding. And some of this is so cooked into the books. It's so cooked in. It's so centuries, millennia old that it's like lost secrets or something. And maybe only these secret occults truly know about. But one individual that knows a lot about that is Jay Dyer, and he's coming up next. But it's just mind-blowing to learn all that and realize all that. But it's like, I didn't even get into some of this other vaccine news. That's just absolutely crazy. Oh, yeah. Oh, they just say safe and effective. And now all these young people are getting their COVID boosters and then like a week later get cancer. Shocking. I never saw it coming. Well, that's a shame, isn't it? And now they got a patient for life. They tricked you into taking that shot. So it's just absolutely crazy when you think about it all. But, you know, this is why supplements are such an important part and are really a modern marvel, because it is one way to kind of cheat the system, if you will. And you can just take, you know, nutritional elements of foods and then put them into a capsule. So it's almost like a life hack, but it's certainly an advancement of science. That's why we sell health supplements. That's why I take health supplements. That's why I say I'm a product of the products at InfoWarsStore.com. And, you know, my problem is I sit here and we tend to just talk about the same stuff. There are so many great products at InfoWarsStore.com, and we barely even mention them. And sometimes they're not in stock, and they sell out a lot, like greens, fiber caps. So many people deficient in fiber. This product has so many different, basically just vegetables in there, just dehydrated. And we barely even talk about it. Great product. And these are just game-changing products. I mean, Survival Shield X3 is a game-changing product. Dealing with the thyroid issues. Dealing with the lacking of iodine. Just a total game changer. Total game changer. DNA Force Plus. I mean, this is just elite stuff. Telomere Support. CoQ10. PQQ. Just absolutely elite supplementation. And they write these stories. Yeah, what do you know about telomeres? You want to talk about deep secrets of human health. What do you know about the telomeres? And they say, well, they try to write hit pieces on our great products, and then they test them, and they realize how high quality they are, and they have to write positive pieces, like a puff piece. That's ironic. And then, so they write, and they say, well, you know, DNA Force Plus might be great, but it's just like eating 500 blueberries. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Blueberries. Really healthy for you. Really good for you. So you can either go eat 500 blueberries or you can have some DNA Force Plus. It's like, that's the point. That's the advancement. That's the modern marvel. You take all the healthy things from the food. You extract them. You turn them into supplements. You add other things in there. You make them more powerful. So that's what we've done at InfoWarsStore.com. All right. I'm I'm doing double duty today because it's the Veterans Call-In Special on the War Room. So if you're a veteran out there, we have open lines for you the entire War Room transmission, 3 to 6 p.m. But that's an hour from now. First, here's Jay Dyer hosting the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. And today I want to talk about the solar eclipse, mass religious deception, and some of the history of the way that the state, the way that the deep state cults have utilized religious deception, the idea of signs and wonders, events, to dupe the public, to corral them and control them, and to maybe even distract them from authentic Christianity, from the real authentic religious experience that's out there, utilizing a lot of tricks, a lot of scams, and a lot of skullduggery. We go back to the early days of the Christian church after the apostles and their death. The church, as you guys know, is persecuted by the Roman Empire. And I'm not going to be talking a whole lot about deep theological stuff. I do want to talk a little bit about it because it's going to relate to where we are today and the commonalities amongst odd groups, cults, and sects that are the source, oftentimes, for the delusions that most people believe in the religious sphere, including in the so-called Christian sphere. In the early days of the church, when the Roman Empire was persecuting it for the first three centuries, there were, at least as far as we know, many, many, many countless martyrs. At the same time, though, there was a lot of groups that sprang up that had a lot of odd, bizarre beliefs that were contrary to the doctrine of the teaching of the apostles that was handed down. A lot of these groups believed in esoteric things like the Gnostics. There wasn't one Gnostic group. There was a whole myriad of Gnostic groups. And if we read the text, well-known text from St. Irenaeus of Lyon, written in about 180, called Against Heresies, the first 200 or 300 pages of that book is actually detailing all of the Gnostic sects that he was aware of by 180 AD. Now, he was a bishop in the Orthodox Church of that time, and so he's our earliest witness to this myriad of cults. The amazing thing about the Gnostic sects and cults of that time is that many of the beliefs that they had then still are present today. I don't think there's like one group that survived, but a lot of the errors, a lot of the mistakes that they held to, such as the idea that the created world is inherently evil, that it was created by a Gnostic demiurge, that we need to escape the creation, or perhaps we need to embrace degeneracy. There's all kinds of different Gnostic groups and sects. Some were very austere, kind of like Brahmins almost, mandating no marriage, mandating not eating meat, veganism, these kinds of things, all the way to the opposite extreme of groups that believed in full and total indulgence. And right around that same time, we had the rise of a group called the Montanists. And Montanus was the, according to his own claims, the voice of the Holy Spirit. He said that he was really the new oracle, and that we didn't really need the scriptures so much. They might have irrelevance, but the voice of the Holy Spirit was now this living, guiding oracle man, Montanus. And he actually drew quite a few followers away, and he ended up being the first so-called charismatic or maybe kind of Pentecostal that you could think of in the early church. Other groups arose like the Arians, not Arian like a neo-Nazi, but Arian in the sense of A-R-I-A-N, who believed that Jesus was the first thing that God created foundation of the world, the Son of God being an early pre-eternal creation. And since Jesus was a creature, he couldn't be divine, he couldn't be worshipped, he couldn't be a real savior in any significant sense. He was more of a moral example. But the Arians were not just an odd, random political, a theological opinion. They were actually a group promoted by certain members of the state. And the reason that the state has always preferred, in many cases, not always, but in many cases, preferred certain heresies is because they make the state kind of a de facto god. So a lot of heresies, believe it or not, are actually useful to the state. Not all of them. Sometimes there are heresies that arise that are contrary to the state and they have to be suppressed. But sometimes heresies are very useful. Cults, groups, sects, and the Imperium or the state, if they're smart enough, they might try to use them, co-opt them, and spin them to their own designs. And we're going to look at a few of those examples as we progress through this discussion today. As we move into the permeation of the Roman Empire by the Christian Church, we see less and less of the kind of wilder sects, and we get more and more of these kind of specified sects that focus on disputes about the Trinity or disputes about who the person of Jesus is. And this is around the time, as we get up into the 5th, 6th, 7th century, we get the rise of a new cult that takes over a large portion of the Middle East and other places, and that's Islam. And Islam is a mix, you could say, of a lot of different ideas. Even according to the Oxford Handbook of Islam, many of the early church fathers who, say, John of Damascus, who wrote in the days of the rise of Islam, they accused it of being a mix of Nestorian forms of so-called Christianity, Arian forms of Christianity, latent Arab paganism, as well as Jewish traditions, Talmudic traditions, and pseudepigraphic Christian traditions. So Islam is a sort of odd mix of all of these things, and that's, I think, one reason why it's very confusing to a lot of people. And so in the case of Islam, we get the first widespread, large-scale rejection of the notion of Christ as the Son of God. In Islam, Allah has no sons, can have no sons. Allah is a master, and you are a slave. You are not a son of God. That's a totally different, that's a different idea. So in Islam, we get this marked turn away from even the earlier forms of Christianity that were heterodox or pseudo-Christianity, like Arianism. We get a more warrior spirit, a more radical idea of what John in his epistles calls Antichrist. John says that if any man denies the Logos in the flesh, the Son of God has come in the flesh, he says that is the spirit of Antichrist. And so Islam is an Antichrist movement, even though it might recognize Jesus as a nice man or a prophet or something like this. Really, it doesn't matter because that's not what is necessary. What's necessary, as Jesus says in John 7, 8, 9, is that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Son of God. He's the only way. So this religious movement, other scholars argue, it's not just a mix of kind of early heresies. There were also powerful state figures. Eventually, you get sheikhs, you get sultans who realize the power of this religion, this newly created, what we say is a schism or heresy of Islam, to be used by the state. And in my view, that's why you get, for example, the burning and of many Qurans in the early phase to give the appearance of one Quran. There was always one Quran. Likewise, we get the usage of Islam in a lot of different versions and sects throughout these centuries, by multiple state actors, Ottomans, Sultan rulers and so forth, the Seljuk Turks. And what happens is that this takes on a lot of different forms, but it's very useful, especially to certain of the Ismaili sects. For example, in Israri, I did a video many years, or maybe a year ago, on the assassins, the Hashashim, and their techniques for training assassins and using things like high-powered drugs, hashish, to dupe young guys into thinking that, well, if you basically they would drug them, show them this little garden of paradise that the very cunning leader had created. There would be virgins and wine and food, and while these guys are basically tripping balls. When they come down, he says, aha, you see, I've taken you to paradise. And if you become an assassin for me, this is your afterlife, right? It's a freak off in the afterlife. And so that obviously is an early version of mind control and the creation of a kind of an assassin. But that's just one example of the variations that we see. I would say the same thing goes along with the early medieval uses of the Templars. We get the Templars, who you might think, well, aren't they the enemy of the Muslims and the assassins? Well, something happens with the Templars. We don't exactly know what in the Middle Ages, but they at some point become entranced with something beyond Christianity or papal Christianity. If you look at great historical texts, there's a good book that I recommend from Papadakis and Meyendorf. This is a newly produced historical text covering the Middle Ages. And it discusses early on that you get the Gregorian papal reforms in the 1100s in the West. And what that does is really changes the structure of the church. You get a new ecclesiology where the papacy, the pope, kind of calls the shots on everything. He's above all the world rulers. He's above every...
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Exercising sorcery in public. Yeah, there's the squirting teat image there, which is, again, very odd. I don't think this would never be seen in any Orthodox church. But this is this Renaissance period when, again, things are getting a little weird in the West, and we get a lot of hermetic artwork. I used to think that, you know, when Dan Brown came out with his book, which I think is ridiculous, but, you know, I remember thinking that, oh, there's no hermetic artwork in the Vatican. That's ridiculous. Well, it turns out, no, actually Rome has quite a bit of hermetic and alchemical and Neoplatonic art. And it's not so much actually at the Vatican, although Bernini did utilize this geometry and this sort of esoteric architecture all through St. Peter's and whatnot. The majority of this is actually over in the Vatican Museum, which is the old Borgia papal apartment. So it's maybe not so much of it's in the Vatican itself or St. Peter's Cathedral, but over in the Vatican Museum. And it's full of really weird, occult, esoteric stuff. And so these secret society networks, these traditions, a lot of these ideas, they pass into the Venetian nobility. A lot of the Venetian power structure utilizes these secret society networks, as well as the idea of debt-based currency, usury-based currency. And this is interesting because this has formerly been forbidden in Christendom as a whole. So you weren't supposed to exercise or utilize usury principles in the first 1,000 years of the Christian Imperium. Byzantium for a long time forbade usury until the last period before Byzantium fell. They began to accept the use of usury. The Latin West also forbade it until the papacy, I think in the Renaissance, around this Borgia Renaissance period, the papacy begins to lighten up and say, no, you know, you can. There's cases where we can begin to do this. This opens the door, really, to the rise of what eventually becomes the Vatican Bank. As we know, in Operation Gladio, that becomes the key bank for a lot of black operations, a lot of the deep state structure funding things like Gladio, Iran-Contra ties to the Vatican Bank, weapon sales tied to the Vatican Bank, all of this because this is a really the most secretive bank in the world. That's why you've seen so many banking scandals related famously in mainstream news for the last 30, 40, 50 years to the Vatican Bank. But again, I'm not laying all the blame on the Vatican Bank because there's other players as well. So a lot of people lay blame on Jews for a lot of this, but you could never have had usury in the West due to the fact that Jews didn't have a lot of power. Even though Jews supported usury, they were not the ones calling the shots throughout the medieval Latin period. So how did we get to this point where usury becomes prominent? Well, it couldn't have happened without the dominant powers in the West, the state power and the Vatican beginning to eventually concede to these things. So we have to be careful where we lay this blame because it's well known, it's been demonstrated by multiple scholars, that the Vatican is actually the one that changed its position on usury. Now, if we look at the period of the Reformation as we move up into church history in the West, we get a lot of these cults and groups that spin off of the abuses of the Latin papal church. And certainly I would agree that a lot of the objections of Luther and Calvin and the reformers were legitimate. They had a lot of reason to complain with a lot of superstition, a lot of ignorance amongst the Christian people and nations. There was a lot of abuse of clergy with multiple wives and girlfriends and all kinds of stuff because they were supposed to be celibate. I mean, a lot of absurd, you know, ridiculous things. The abuse of indulgences and the idea that you could donate to have your temporal sins remitted and then that the Pope can free people from purgatory. A lot of the things that Luther complained about, Martin Luther in the 95 Theses, they're legitimate criticisms. But One thing that happened as a result of the Reformation was this other element of the Reformation that you might or might have heard of called the Radical Reformation. So if we think about the Reformers, we think about Luther, Calvin, Zwingli. There was a whole other group, a whole other branch that the classical Reformers of Luther and Calvin actually fought against and had many of them killed. And the Radical Reformers are the sort of the forefathers, you could say, of the Amish, the Mennonites, the Hutterites, which you think, well, they're not very well known. Nobody really cares what Amish and Mennonites are up to unless they're, selling dairy that's not legal according to the state or whatever. Then they're like a terror cell, right? But really, the Amish Mennonite theology morphs into other things. This is where we begin to get Baptist theology. The Baptists that we know about today in America, and that's a big portion of the evangelicals, they come out of the Anabaptists, who were one of the radical Reformation movements. And so it's interesting to me that we think about classical Reformation theology of the quote traditional Presbyterian or Lutheran or Methodist churches, or even the Anglican Church. They had a close relationship to the state. Luther, for example, couldn't have had his Reformation without the support of the German princes because they didn't want to go along with the Pope and his geopolitical power. So there was a lot of state power behind the Reformation. When we look at the Puritans, right, they attempted to kind of set up a sort of a theocracy, which is another kind of state power type of institution as well. And the point is here is not to say, oh, they're all good, they're all bad. It's just to look at the patterns of history and see how this relates to where we are now with the upcoming supposed solar eclipse and all these end time speculation and people freaking out and people getting on into the sensationalism of it. And my point is going to be very clearly that a lot of this is used to manipulate the socially engineered people. But the Reformers, as we said, are not a monolithic group. You get the Radical Reformers who are made up of a plethora of kind of oddballs. You have people that are the Quakers and the Shakers. I think the Shakers still exist. There's like three people. There's like three old guys in Pennsylvania or somewhere and one woman or something. Like the last of the Shakers, which is a split of the Quakers. I'm sure you've heard of Quaker Oats, right? And these are all these weird, yeah, here we go. It's a bunch of people who thought that, well, Luther and Calvin didn't go far enough. And again, you think, you look at these list of beliefs here, some of them were communistic, some of them were pacifists, some of them believed in a direct speaking of the Holy Spirit, and we didn't really worry about anything to do with tradition or sacraments or baptism, the Lord's Supper, or the Bible. It's just this inner swelling up where God directly moves me and talks to me. That's a big portion of that group. And that's relevant because I would argue that what we see in America, the delusion part of Christianity, is not so much the classical, quote-unquote, Protestant churches. Those are pretty much dying. They've been sterilized and committed to a plan of death and dying out for many decades, going back to the mainline Protestant churches accepting Rockefeller-funded liberalism since the 20s and 30s. So they've been confessionally liberal and on the path to the acceptance of sterilization through Skittles marriage, through female, quote, bishops and ministers. Now, that's all a path to sterilization. And the statistics actually bear this out. Most of those mainline Protestant churches are projected to die out in the next 20, 30, 40 years because they're not reproducing. They're not making converts. They're really just boomers and people that are attached to that tradition for whatever reason. And so the mainline Lutherans, for example, I think are projected to die out in 20, 30, 40 years. And so this is the consequence of those churches becoming controlled and manipulated and steered by powerful entities like the Rockefeller Foundation, foundations that give millions of dollars to decide who will be in their seminaries. This is the Alex Jones Show. This is the fourth hour. We're going to get to weird sex and religious manipulation here in a moment.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
There is nothing more frustrating to me, whether it comes to news or anything else we're doing, than to know I'm telling the truth and to know that you'll just listen to me and take action. It will change your life. Ladies and gentlemen, we have two great products that have been sold out for a long time. They're now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. X3 is the highest quality iodine, the missing link. It is back in stock, 40% off. And so is TurboForce, 10-hour clean energy, naturally released. It is amazing. Both of these products fund the InfoWar. So they could be placebo and it'd still be great because you're funding InfoWar. They're not. If you'll just try TurboForce, you'll see the results in 30 minutes. Incredible energy for 10 hours without the letdown. But if you will just take X3 on average for about 2 weeks, you will see amazing results because it's the missing link. X3 and TurboForce, both discounted now for a limited time at InfoWarsStore.com.
The Outjunction, my guest is Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, and we're going through the history of the church and also looking at the rise of a lot of weird groups, sects, and how sometimes those groups and sects are used by the state or by other powers, other entities, to socially engineer, to steer people in the direction that a power structure might want to go in. And oftentimes that has nothing to do with what is actually true. In fact, more often than not, it's against the fact of what's the case or what's true. And that's, again, for the benefit of the state. Now, we're working our way up through church history, and we're talking about the Protestants. We're talking about the Anabaptists, the Radical Reformation, and how that's overlooked as a really powerful influence in America, because with the death of a lot of the mainline, what we call classical Protestant churches, from Luther and Calvin and the Methodists of John Wesley, and those numbers declining, what ends up being the majority of so-called Christianity in America is a lot of the evangelical and charismatic groups. And I'm not trying to go after or hurt anybody's feelings here, but I do have to point out that what often goes along with a lot of these groups is the idea of an early
a soon coming return of Christ preceded by a rapture. And the problem with the rapture doctrine is, number one, if we look at the history of the church and the church that, for example, put the Bible together in the first 7 centuries of Christianity, nobody ever taught the doctrine of a, quote, pre-tribulation rapture. This is actually an idea that was invented. Some say it was some Jesuit. I'm not sure I believe that. But it really goes along with what we call dispensationalism. And dispensationalism is a heresy that pops up in the late 1800s, promoted by a guy who split from the Church of England and was part of a denomination called the Plymouth Brethren. And his name was John Nelson Darby. And Darby came up with this idea of kind of charting out the history of prophecy and coming up with these different divisions in church history, and that God had different plans and ways to save people in different ways. So in the Old Testament, you could be saved with certain types of works. But now that Jesus came, it's all about grace, and there's grace as set in attention against works. And now we can be saved in a different way. But then when Jesus comes back, there'll be a new temple, and he'll reinstitute animal sacrifices, and we'll get a 1,000-year reign of Jesus in Israel, and all of this sort of ridiculous nonsense, which is not true. In fact, this is a huge delusion, and it's a delusion because, number one, the rapture is an idea that's intended to cause you to sit back and wait and actually want the Antichrist to come. So rather than taking action and rather than being involved, Christians are basically pacified and emasculated by thinking that, well, there's no point because everything's destined to become really, really bad, and things never get better. And so we might as well just concede to wickedness and become, I don't know, some weird version of blackpilled. But when Paul talks about being caught up in the clouds in his letter to the Thessalonians, there's no reason to think that this is any different than the second coming and the general resurrection of all mankind. And that was always what Christianity taught. So if that's the case, and if it's not really, if the so-called basis for the pre-tribulation rapture is very flimsy, like John in the book of Revelation being caught up to see the visions, oh, that's telling us about the rapture of the Christians before the tribulation. No, John is seeing those events in his day. Okay? This is prior to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. So if John is seeing things that were contemporary and events that were going to happen to the people he's writing to, remember he writes to 7 actual churches in Asia Minor, and he warns those actual churches about events that they're going to experience. Okay, what use would it be to them if it's events that are 2,000 years later? I'm not saying that there's no application to the end of the world in the book of Revelation. I'm just saying that it's out of the context of who he's writing to. But the real issue here is not even that. It's, well, then what's the point of the rapture doctrine and the idea of, say, evangelical Zionism and so forth? Where does this come from? Well, as I said, you got these people at Oxford, Cambridge, people in these elite British circles who happen to be also connected oftentimes to the idea of British Israelite ideology. And if you don't know what that is, that's a weird idea that the 10 lost tribes in the Old Testament somehow might be people in Europe, or perhaps the Scottish or the English. They're part of these lost tribes. And who even knows if that's true? But this theory also plays into the idea that you find in a lot of European nobility and regal traditions that the Merovingians are the descendants of Jesus somehow, or that the British kings and queens descend from Joseph of Arimathea, right? Now, they actually do kind of have this mythology there. I think it's complete nonsense. But I think they use this myth as a kind of way to prop up their status beliefs. And obviously, if you believe that the British Isles and the peoples are a lost tribe of Israel, you can then begin to appropriate the promises to Israel or Jews to you, and it becomes this ridiculous sort of self-propagating backing up of the state. And it's really an Anglo version of Hebrew Israelite theology, right? Which is absurd. And it's like, no, the real Jews are random black people. Okay? I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but there was a meme going around Twitter, and it was various rappers and people saying, look, here's the icons from the 1400s out of Russia. And look, it's Jesus is black. No, sorry. Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't a black guy. Nothing against black guys. Jesus, even being a Jew, can still save anybody, right? So, but he has to be a Hebrew to fulfill the messianic prophecies, right? So you can't be the Messiah and not be in the lineage of Abraham, David, etc. Okay, you got to be, and so he's not going to be a dude in the Numidia or a dude in Africa. So Jesus has to be a Jew, has to be a Hebrew to fulfill the prophecies, right? And that's why the Gospels, for example, include the genealogies. If there weren't, if it didn't matter, then they would have genealogies. Well, the genealogies show that he's the descendant of Abraham and David. Anyway, the point, though, with the rapture and dispensationalism and this idea of chopping up church history and the interjection of the premillennial and pre-tribulation, the premillennial idea of the kingdom, the introduction of the pre-tribulation rapture, this is really a neutralizing, emasculating effect on Christianity. It's a heresy because it's a completely new made-up teaching. It was never in the church prior to that time of John Nelson Darby. But it's more than that because this odd sort of not well-known belief in the mid to late 1800s gets popularized by a guy who creates a study Bible, and his name is Scofield. The Scofield Study Bible is produced by Oxford. Isn't that interesting? Why would Oxford University publish this bizarre fringe idea of end time stuff study Bible that gets heavily promoted in America as soon as it's published after Scofield puts it together? Well, I can tell you why. The British Empire had a goal, had a strategy, because they knew via the Balfour Declaration that, number one, the establishment of the State of Israel was soon to come. This dispensationalist-minded study Bible would then inculcate America and the West, particularly evangelicals and Protestants, with a lot of these new ideas and new teachings, which kind of ultimately, it's not their only point, but it ultimately served to back up the reestablishment of the nation state of Israel, as if that was the fulfillment of some sort of end times prophecy. So this was an engineered thing, in my view. I'm not saying that there won't be end times stuff relating to Israel. I'm not saying that Israel doesn't play any kind of role in the end times. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying that if you look at the actual history of why they promoted the Scofield Study Bible and why it was so popular in American evangelical circles, it's really the source of why America became an evangelical Zionist-promoting thing. So whether you think that's right or wrong, I'm saying that that seems to be how it came about. And the problem here is that now the, just like we saw, for example, with Puritans, if you read the Puritans, the way they speak of America, the Puritans viewed America like it was the church, right? And the American Constitution or the city on a hill, that's the church. If you're an evangelical Zionist, you're not really concerned with the church. You actually believe in Israel more than the church. So that's now your sort of focus of everything. And the point is that it takes the position, it takes the focus away from the Messiah, right? And you can't have a new church that comes out of nowhere, is the point. This is the Alex Jones Show. We're talking about the rapture and dispensationalism. We'll be back after this break.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jessica, this is the happiest day of my life. Right up there with the day I bought my RV and insured it with Progressive. Man, I love that thing. There are a million fish in the sea, which I'm reminded of every time I bring my RV to the lake, but I vow to love and cherish you just as much as I cherish campsites with full electric and water hookups. I'm so sorry.
Protect your beloved with an RV policy from Progressive. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you could save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams
when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. My guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're talking about the usage of a lot of groups, sects, cults to promote various deep state power agendas. And we were talking about dispensationalism and end time stuff. And I wanted to close on that point and move on to some other things related to the eclipse and speculations about that, and pointing out that so when you get the establishment of the nation state of Israel, you get a period where many Jews do want to return and immigrate there. And when Hitler comes to power, the British actually ended up screwing over the Jews because they gave the impression that they wanted this to be the case. They wanted to have people immigrate and to leave. And yet they then revoked the ability of many Jews to actually immigrate. And this led to Hitler being able to persecute many Jews. And Hitler, as we know, in my view, if you read Tragedy and Hope, there's multiple pages in Dr. Gerald Quigley's text where he talks about, for example, in 1930, I think it's 39, Hitler was given $2 billion in gold, Czechoslovakian gold, from the Bank of England. And this had to do with their dual policy where the British were on the one hand wanting Hitler to go to war and to engage in these atrocities and whatnot and to cause World War II, yet at the same time telling the public that they were opposed to Hitler actually screwing over the Jews. And this is what led to the rise of the Irgun and the opposition to the British mandate on the part of the existing Jews in Israel. That led then to the bombing of the King David Hotel. Anyway, I don't have any position on any of that necessarily applying to, quote, prophecy. I'm just pointing out that it's a really complicated history. And then you get the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem who comes in and says that this is actually going to now be an entirely purely Arab Palestine. And the problem is that the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem was actually an agent of British intelligence. So
We constantly see throughout this period a kind of maybe an inner struggle within the British power structure, who was trying to play both sides of all these conflicts. They tried to play both sides of the partitioning of the land of Palestine into Israel and into Palestine. And a lot of the elites of the British had this bizarre obsession and fascination with Islam. And I think that had to do with their imperial period, when people like St. John Philby and T.E. Lawrence, and they went to become kind of immersed in the Arab tribes to figure out how to best rule them in an imperial way. You can watch the Peter O'Toole movie, Lawrence of Arabia, where you see this in the film. So, interestingly, many of the British aristocracy and elite were Philo-Arabists. They loved Islam and Arabic culture. I'm not saying they were all Muslims. I'm just saying that many of them were on the side of this. Some of them, however, were not. Some of them were more on the side of the establishment of a Zionist state, like Lord Rothschild and others. So there might have even been in the power structure in Britain at this time, perhaps an inner struggle. But regardless, overall, it looks like they were trying to play both sides of this issue. And that doesn't really have anything to do, though, in my view, with necessarily, quote, prophecies. But the danger is that because of the nation state of Israel being set up and because of the recent wars, I'm not saying take any sides. I'm just saying that the point here is that prophecy people will go nuts over this. And we already see it. And, oh, the red heifer and this and that. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to talk about this, but I've been hearing the stories of the red heifer since the 90s. And it's always the sort of like, oh, this is happening in the rapture. And then, and none of that ever manifests. It may this time. It could. Again, I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. But, when you hear the same types of warnings and fear and threats and anxiety from this kind of, John Hagee in times, blood moons type of stuff. Blood moons of Israel. And by the way, Jesus isn't the Messiah. If you don't remember, he actually wrote a book called Jesus Isn't the Messiah based on his dispensationalism. I think he had to retract that book. But this gives you an idea of where the sort of John Hagee type characters are coming from. And if you remember, Hal Lindsey wrote a book, for example, saying that he thought the rapture would come in 1988 based on these goofy charts that he had come up with. And if I recall, I did an interview with a friend of mine many years ago who had done a deep dive into that, and I think Hal Lindsey took the profits of that book and bought a bunch of real estate in Malibu. So clearly he didn't think the rapture was coming. A lot of other groups and sects, like Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, have predicted the end of the world multiple times, and when it doesn't happen, judge somebody, I forget his name, but one of the prominent Jehovah's Witness leaders after Charles Taze Russell, he also bought Beth Sarum, I wouldn't say it's a mansion, but it's a nice multi-million dollar house in San Diego after his end times prediction didn't work out. And all of his followers gave him their money, and he ended up buying a pad in San Diego. So we see this pattern a lot with cults and sects who utilize the fear and the sensationalism of end times prophecies and predictions. And we think about back to Y2K. I was still, I think, kind of an evangelical minded person in 2K, I was kind of starting to have some doubts about evangelicalism at that time. But I remember thinking, the media is hyping this up. It's going to be the end of the world. There's going to be everything collapsing. Society's going to collapse because the clocks on the computers won't flip over right or whatever. It was kind of silly, but the media hyped it up, and everybody kind of generally thought that it might be some big deal. It ended up not being a big deal. And then if you think about through the 2000s, we had so many inflated terror warnings, right? Oh, it's orange level terror. We were talking about this on the stream with the Alex last night, and Jack Posobiec and non-Elon Musk Dittman. So it was a wild conversation that we had. If you hadn't watched that, go watch that on a Bandai video. And, then we had in 2014-ish, I remember there being a full solar collapse, eclipse, not a collapse. I remember going outside and it was dusk. It was really cool. Like Alex was saying the other day, it's like the birds get quiet, and I don't know, it looks like a filter from Blade Runner is put over your visual array. I don't know, but it was kind of cool. It lasted for maybe 10 minutes, and then at 5 minutes, it was gone. So I don't understand how this one would be any different than that one. Nothing happened in that one. And at the time, a lot of people were saying, oh, it's the end of the world. If you've listened to alternative conspiracy radio or whatever for a long time, Planet X is going to collide with us and this and that. All of these fear scenarios end up ultimately never manifesting. They're ridiculous. And there's so many more that we can talk about. A lot of the time, what I think is going on is that most of the time, these are attempts to get people agitated and in a state of constant anxiety and being kind of all kilter. Then you're more likely to default to the system. And the whole point of the war on terror was that, to get everybody constantly afraid of everything and not afraid of the real things. So you're focused on, distracted with these absurd things, blood moons and Ebola. And again, remember Ebola? Nothing happened in 2014. They were saying Ebola was into the world, but Ebola's coming to America from Africa. Nothing happened. So you notice the pattern here of the media does the same thing that the goofy evangelical end times predictors do, right? Harold Camping, he would constantly predict the rapture and the end of the world. And every time it didn't happen, he would just update his prediction and say, oh, well, I've miscalculated. And by the way, or like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they would say, oh, it was a spiritual event that occurred and you couldn't see it, but it really did happen, right? This is con artistry. These are con men. The same stuff with aliens. There aren't extra biological aliens. I'm sorry. There's no evidence of this. There's a lot of weird stuff in the sky. But how does that lead us to the conclusion that there's visitors from the Pleiades? Where's the hard evidence? I mean, maybe there are entities, but maybe they're demons. Like, what's the basis for it being some thing that flew here from the Pleiades just to, molest people and touch butts? Whatever the aliens do with their intrusions into various orifices. So this is a lot of conspiracy candy. It's a lot of causing anxiety, getting you hyped up, paranoid awareness. Social engineers study this. In fact, Cass Sunstein, who was Obama's one of his czars, who went on to the NSA, he wrote a famous paper, as I mentioned, about cognitive infiltration. And this paper was discussing the way to infiltrate truth movements, people that do real research, come up with real information, and to seed it with fake conspiracies, just flood it with dumb fake conspiracies. Get people arguing over things that don't even matter or you can't even know. Tartaria, there was an ancient civilization, a mud flood. I mean, maybe, but like, how are you? You're not going to prove this. What's this going to do? It's not like understanding the Federal Reserve, right? And the solution to that being buying Bitcoin, right? So there's all these fake conspiracies to distract from the real things going on, and the government wants you involved in those things. The government, the system, they actually love fake conspiracies, and it's a form of religious engineering, no different than the high priests in Apocalypto who are duping everybody into thinking that they have to sacrifice 10,000 people and worship the state or the sun won't come back. Just go watch Mel Gibson's Apocalypto. So anyway, that's my take on it. If you want to support my work, you can go to my website, jaysanalysis.com, and get the books in the shop, signed copies of my 600-page book.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.